If somebody were to ask you who you are at a bar, at a coffee shop, what would you tell them?
Welcome to Da Vinci's Discourse, where the minds of today's most innovative entrepreneurs are unveiled and explored. And my name is Kyle Campbell, your guide on this journey into the depths of the entrepreneurial psyche. So sit back, relax, and get ready to dive into the minds of the greats. This is Da Vinci's Discourse.
I just generally try to be helpful and live life to the fullest. Going deeper into that statement, to be helpful, I try to be focused and remain focused on, one thing, rather than be, maximize myself, rather than jumping around. The other thing is, I believe in the progression of the human race towards space. And part of my goal is to make an unbelievable amount of money so I can play in this much larger game that really I only believe is accessible to ultra wealthy individuals who have already contributed massively on Earth.
Dude, that's awesome. You think big, brother. Holy shit. You went right to the infinite. I love it, man. I love it. So you talk about being focused, man. So what's something that you focus on right now? Like, let's say to shift the question, if somebody asked you, what do you do for a living? Because I love how you didn't answer the two as one. What do you do for a living if somebody were to answer that? And then we'll delve into to how you do it.
Making affiliate marketing easier for people is my goal, and it will continue to be my goal for at least the next number of years. And when I say affiliate marketing, I mean whether that's, influencer marketing, referrals, partnership, there's a lot of stuff involved in affiliate marketing, a lot of different ways people cut it up. But to make it easier for people, and the way we're making it easier for people, one is, I'm live streaming tonight on YouTube, just like affiliate marketing live, and just showing people actually, not a PowerPoint presentation, but actually me doing it. And I have training courses, I have a mentorship program around affiliate marketing. And what we've done there is build software that allows people to just have landing pages for the top affiliate offers on ClickBank and Digistore, so that folks don't have all these technical, like, how do I program a landing page, or what do I write? What picture do I put? What video do I put? Just making it easier for people every step of the way. They don't even have to register a domain with our program. Just making it, how do we make it simpler, 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 so that it's more accessible.
I love it, man. So let's say that I'm a newbie starting out on ClickBank, for example. I see all the ClickBank awards you got back there, which is freaking sweet. So let's say that I'm just getting started, dude. And let's say I don't have an email list. I've got an idea what kind of a category I want to affiliate market in, but I don't have the experience in it. Let's say that you are teaching me how to be you for a day. All right. Where do we start? Where do I start when it comes to making some money with affiliate marketing?
Sure. Great question. So the first place I start is by creating, and this is a really boring subject, but it is creating a swipe file. Now, there's a lot of people looking for a swipe file, but what I do is I look at other people that are marketing a product I want to market. And we could even back up a further step and be like, what do you want to market? Do you want to market stuff in the health and wellness industry? Do you want spirituality and mindset related stuff, business advice? You have to figure out what you want to market. But the good news is everything out there, anything you, anything, there's limitless opportunities, and they all sell because there's 7 billion people you can reach on the internet. But let's just assume it's something, I sell business advice. So the first place I would start is creating a swipe file and finding other affiliates that are promoting the same sorts of products that I am. So I would go to, YouTube maybe, and I'd search passive income, make money online, work at home. And I'd find out what ads are triggering it, or what sort of content is going up around that area. Now, if I have money, I like doing ads. That's the way I've always done affiliate marketing. But if you just want to use, if you're comfortable using your face or creating videos, You would look at organic videos that are showing up for these topics. You'd look at what Twitter posts are showing up, what websites are showing up. And I'd start with a really solid basis of who my competition is, what they're writing, what the headlines are, how long the blog posts are, how short, how long the videos are, how short. And I'd get a makeup there. And then that's the starting point, that what are other people doing to make money in this area successful?
So you don't go for the product owners marketing themselves. You can look for what other affiliates are doing in the similar sphere. You don't trust their marketing, eh? You want to, because if they could market themselves, they wouldn't be doing affiliates maybe. So, I mean, maybe not, it's maybe right? But you actually go for the affiliates instead of actually the product owners marketing materials themselves, eh?
If I'm going to be selling somebody's product, I absolutely want to see other people who are selling that product. I want to see what they're doing. And because we have the power of the internet, I can see exactly what they're doing, how frequently they're posting. Let's say it's a passive income tips Instagram channel. How frequently are they posting? What are they posting? Is it more reels? Is it carousels? Is it this? Is it that? Is it motivational quotes? Is it this? And I'd say, I'm seeing a lot of motivational quotes mixed in with some carousels that end up leading people to an affiliate link. Okay. So I'm going to do a mixture of motivational posts and carousels that really get people to, that and the carousels are going to be used to sell people on whatever program and I'm affiliate for in the description link or whatever. I'm going to message them. I'm going to write comments. If they say DM, send comment on this post ready, I'm ready. I'm going to say, I'm going to do that. And I'm going to say, this is what happens. They send me an automated follow-up with an affiliate link. So I'm going to pick up on, okay, this seems to be the situation. I need to post on if I'm choosing Instagram to promote a business advice offer, I'm going to say, I need to post three to five times a day. I need to do a mixture of this, this sort of variety. And I'm going to need to have my link in the bio, or I'm going to DM people. I'm going to have some sort of automation tool to DM people a link. And that's how I'd start, that's just the research. So that then the actual marketing bit is way easier than if I just come in without having done the competitive research in the beginning.
Right. So you're talking about modeling other people that are doing it successfully and being able to do something similar. Let's take it back a step, because what if somebody doesn't know what to market? They're on ClickBank or JVZoo. There's a shit ton of different offers to be able to market. How do you know what offer? And obviously you want people to market yours, right? So we can get into that a little bit. But how do you know what to stand behind, what to start doing this research for?
Sure. Part of it rests on, you ask yourself, am I willing to show my face on camera? What platform do I prefer to post on? Is it Facebook? Is it, Instagram, images? Do I know image editing? Can I edit a little image quote? Is that something I'm comfortable? Is doing video editing something I'm a little bit comfortable with? Am I comfortable shooting on my phone? So, am I comfortable writing long blog posts or answering people's questions on Quora daily? So part of it is you have to ask yourself, what platform am I comfortable posting on consistently? Because possibly, on Twitter, people aren't selling a lot of business advice programs, because to purchase a expensive business advice program, Twitter just doesn't have maybe the character limit to allow you to do that. Or maybe people aren't doing it on it for a certain reason. People don't go to Twitter for business. I don't know. I'm not a big Twitter user, so I'm just making this up. But certain platforms lend themselves to promoting certain things better. I'd also ask yourself I'd ask myself, I guess, what am I comfortable talking about and posting, ads for on social media consistently, daily,
right,
for a long period of time? Now, for me, it never mattered But some folks would say, I will shoot myself in the face if I have to post, if I have to write blog articles about mortgages and refinance rates.
Oh, dude, don't get me started. I'm going through that right now. You got PTSD triggered in my brain, dude. Different example. I got underwriters being a pain in my ass right now, but that's irrelevant. Okay, I got you. I got you.
No, if you're like, I can't deal with like all these things consistently, then don't do it. Because at the end of the day, success in business and marketing and anything really is about that consistency. And if you don't love it, if you're doing it as just a trick, it's not going to work out. The three big niches that are all what I call evergreen niches that are always around is health, health, you know, what we call weight loss, beauty, skincare, you know, and related products, and business, you know, wealth.
Yes.
Yeah. So making money or investing your money or trading stocks or invest, you know, putting money in real estate, right? Those niches are never going away, and you can market them anyway, you know, a gazillion different angles. So I typically suggest start off in one of those niches, health, beauty, or money, and, you know, niche, you know, so start with one of the big ones, because that's one of the, I'd say, sure shot.
Right. So you're talking about building a list within one of the three primary categories. And then once you have a list within one of them, you can branch out and be able to offer stock courses to somebody that you've just sold an Amazon course to, because exactly, they're both interested in buying and selling things for a profit. The psychographics are the same. And so you can build a list and be able to branch off the different offers within that list that you build. The question becomes, dude, building a list is fucking hard. I mean, how the hell do you start from scratch to build a list? And I know you like paid ads, right? So I want to see where your mind kind of goes with how do I, as if I was you for a day, how do I start building a list?
Sure. I personally never focused on building a list, but how I've built a list is simply just having an opt-in on my landing page so that I'm collecting the email before I'm pushing them to my offer or the affiliate's offer. I still collect their email. And how I'll do so is, I'm buying ads, you know, on YouTube, Rumble, Instagram, Facebook, etc. And, you know, in the ad, it'll say something along the lines of, hey, I have something really special to show you, you know, and here's some bullet points. I say, go to the next page and I'll send it to you. And then on the next page, when they click my link, I just say, enter your email address to get the thing that I promised. Maybe it's a book, maybe it's this. What I do very specifically, since I think some people see the video here, is I actually give away my book. So I wrote a book on called Work at Home Secrets to Affiliate Marketing. And you have like my, I think my fan, yeah, there's one of my daughters in there, and
yeah,
you know, all this stuff. So I made it a workbook so people could actually like write answers to questions in it, because I believe education should be interactive. So that's what I do to build my list. I give them something free away. And I think the more free value you can give folks up front, the better your relationship will be with them.
Well, yeah, right, dude. One of the things that my mind goes to when you say that you want to make education interactive is my AI book company. So what we'll do is we'll interview people. Yeah, we'll turn their interviews into books. And at the end of each chapter, there's a prompt that they can enter into ChatGPT or whatever AI they use and be able to have a dialogue with the chapter based on what was in it, right? So it's freaking badass. Yeah.
What?
Yeah, man. Hell yeah. So we got that dialogue. So it's back and forth, interactive, instead of just, oh, I read the book and on to the next chapter, on to the next. You learn, like you said, way more when you got the interactive element to it. So yeah, that's one of the things that we do. You like that idea, eh?
You can chat with the book.
Hell yeah, man. It's an ebook, right? So you just paste the prompt that it gave you into ChatGPT, and it'll have a conversation with you. And this is where it gets cool, is it'll give you questions to ponder on, and then you can ask it to answer the questions and have all sorts of different angles that you wouldn't have thought of based on the chapter. It tailors the content to their specific business or life, whatever it might be, if it's not a business book. And you get the interactive element to it.
That's fascinating. So if I had a book like The Art of Negotiation or something, you know, I could be like, wow, that's actually really fascinating. I can imagine that would be extremely. I'm a huge avid reader. I'm reading Philip K. Dick right now. I'm going through his whole library. So you could chat with somebody in a science fiction book in the future and ask them, dude, that's fascinating.
Interesting idea that just came to mind when you said that. Chat with a science fiction character in the future about how your business is being done in his world, and then get all kinds of how things will be or could be done in the future based on the science fiction book, tying in fiction and nonfiction like that. Interesting. I like that idea, man. But yeah, this is one of the things we're doing. The way I see it is, I don't know if you've seen the Netflix special Bandersnatch. It's got an interactive element where you change directions based on where you want the movie or the show to go. And I see that being played out with the books. It's freaking, I love it, dude. Yeah. So that's one of the things. And yeah, it's cool. It's on Netflix. It's an interesting show, but that's how I see the future of education going, is having it tailored and created in real time for you based on your psychological profile, what you'll resonate the most with, as opposed to just writing something that the general public can kind of tailor internally to their thing, whatever it is, but then have to do that themselves. The AI will be able to just have it so that it's for you, generated in real time, whether it be a webinar. I mean, picture a sales webinar that analyzes the person's social media profile and then generates a video sales letter or a webinar in real time for that person based on what it deems that's going to trigger purchasing behavior the most likely to be able to do that, as opposed to just trying to create a one-to-many situation where you're writing content that's going to tailor to as many people as possible. Imagine it created in real time, second by second, for that person, and the sales process could be freaking masterful, dude. Yeah.
So you're, first off, you're right. Second off, let me tell you why you're right, because you already know you're right, but I'm going to give you a second point of view. I mean, this is fascinating. So my favorite author, his name is Neal Stephenson, and he wrote a book called The Diamond Age, which talks about the future of education is a book that is an interactive book that writes, that basically answers any question. And in the book, in the Diamond Age, they create a clone army, and it gets a little crazy. You know, they create a clone army on like a cargo ship, but they use this book to, you know, everybody has this book which educates them and wherever they are at the time, and it's generative.
Yes,
it sounds exact. And Neal Stephenson created the term cyberspace, metaverse. Wow. He was the first and only employee at Jeff Bezos's Blue Origin for 2 years. He was a consultant for Sergey Brin. He's personal friends with Bill Gates, and he's met Mark Zuckerberg and Elon Musk. He's probably the smartest futurist out there. And he says exactly what you're doing is the future of education
and persuasion, right?
I'm almost thinking, how do you, you know, as a writer too, like how do you write a book that works extremely well with your software? Like, have you seen, I'm imagining certain ways of writing or organizing the chapters is more effective to being able to chat with the book or something like that than others.
Yeah, well, definitely, man. The structure, what we do is we paste the whole transcript in. It'll give us the optimized structure, and then it'll have the interactive elements in there based on what's at the end of each chapter, the content, and then how it's tailored in with the previous and the next one. So it's like a cascading effect of education, where it's interactive, man. It's so cool. But this is just the beginning of it because I can't wait for when we have a webinar, a persuasion product where it's like you do XYZ, and then you get a webinar that's tailored specifically for you that's able to understand you more than any other one-to-many webinar could. It gets intense, man. We don't know where that leads to, but it's a cool thought anyways. But yeah, dude, that's where my mind went when you said a lead magnet, because that's one of the things we do is we use these books as lead magnets to build your list with. Now, how do you know what lead magnet to use? And we'll kind of walk through the process of building a list and more so the macro of creating a successful affiliate business. How do you know what lead
Sure.
magnet to
I
use?
so going back to the very first step in affiliate marketing, which is creating a swipe file, creating a little, doing that competitive research. I'll look at what other folks are offering. Are they offering, a ebook? Are they offering a template, like a mortgage calculator, a refinance
Oh
rate
God, back to
calculator?
this
You know,
again.
are they offering an ebook on, the secrets of the mortgage refinance industry? Are they offering a free call with, a mortgage refinance professional? Are they offering to give you a bunch of, like, they're like, enter your email and we'll show you rates from 20 different companies. So
Right.
the answer is I don't know for the mortgage area because I haven't looked at that in a while. But in the business advice field, it's typically an ebook. So I'll offer that. In some areas, I know in the food niche, in the health niche, they'll offer, like, oftentimes a recipe guide or some sort of, like, maybe they'll be like, here's like 10 keto friendly dishes you can make from food you got buy at your local grocery store in America. So depending on the niche, there's usually a different mover, and doing the competitive research will find that out for you. What's becoming increasingly popular, I'm seeing, and it's another way of building a list, is Telegram groups. We'll give you a, or WhatsApp groups, get, a Discord group, enter your email and we'll show you how to join our community to chat about mortgages or keto friendly, the keto diet, or making money on, trading crypto or whatever it is. So the answer is do what your competitors probably already know what the most effective type of lead magnet is, and then you create maybe your own flavor of that ebook or whatever.
Right, checklist, whatever they're doing that's working essentially. If they're hoping, if they're running ads to it, then you know it's working, especially if the ads have been running for a while. I like that, man. So instead of having to test it yourself, find out what is working based on running 50 tests of 50 different lead magnets, you look what's already working, model it, hopefully it'll work for you too. So okay, we're at a couple of stages in now.
Still
We're
test, still
we'll test. Oh,
test.
always test, right? Always
I
test.
say test, but I'd rather start with what's
Yes.
working
Right.
rather than guessing my way, spending, I'd rather stand on the shoulders of other people's success rather than trying to guess my way to it.
Right. One of the things that comes to mind when you say that is being able to have a joint venture partnership with these people. So you don't even have to have the lead magnet created yourself. A lot of people, what they'll do is they'll copy it, throw it into ChatGPT and plagiarize the shit out of it and offer something similar with such a similar title. And instead of that, why don't you find a joint venture partnership opportunity with them, be able to leverage their lead magnet, maybe share the leads that you have, build reciprocity, and open the opportunity for them to promote one of your affiliate links to their offer, to their list, which, and so it's a higher strategic way of doing it as opposed to plagiarizing like most people would do first, right? So that's an interesting route. Okay. So you've got the lead magnet, let's say, whether it be from a JV or you created it and you've leveraged other people's successful campaigns and you're doing micro tests. Where do I start to test? Is it the headline? Is it the image? And is it the ad platform? Where do I start to test?
Great question. So you always test the top of the funnel. And the top of the funnel, for those that don't know, is where are you getting the most visibility. And usually that's if you're doing, whether you're doing ads or just organics, you know, just social posts on, you know, Instagram or Facebook or Twitter or whatever, it's going to be that top of funnel content. It's going to be, you know, let's say on Instagram, it's the images that you're sharing, or it's going to be the, you know, the posts that you put up there. So the answer would be, let's use Instagram as the example here. You know, we're putting up, you know, maybe we put up one post that's like it's a recipe of a keto friendly food. And then we put up another post that's a carousel of that same recipe, or maybe it's just a carousel of 8 different recipes, right? These are all things we can kind of see to test engagement on. Another one would be, maybe we actually have a video reel of a, of, you know, a top down of me making a keto friendly thing in a dish, or a bowl or something. Each of those is good kind of stuff to test, to see it, what's getting, you know, that engagement, those views, what is Instagram pushing the most, how many accounts are you reaching on each of these different formats. Everything is the same recipe, you know, like we're sharing the same recipe, you know, in a carousel format, in a one post format, in a video format, but we're starting to get an idea of what's hitting the best. And also, maybe each of these posts, we put them out on a different day. We say link, you know, we have in the post description, you know, the link is in the bio if you want to get my, you know, get on my email list or get on, you know, get a keto off, you know, this keto diet, you know, video course. And you just simply look, okay, this post went up this day, this many people saw it, and here's how many clicks were on my link in the bio. Next day, okay, this post went up, this is how many link in the bio clicks. And then this post went up, this is how many link in the bio clicks. And you'll start to notice a little trend. You'll like be like, whoa, that you know, more people viewed the carousel, but I got way more people coming to my affiliate link in my bio with the reel, you know, with the video, than with the carousel or the single post. And you start, so that's how you test. That's kind of the process. Depending on what you're doing, you have to jerry-rig data together. But you start to get an understanding of what are real people engaging with, and you just double down on what works, and you forget about what doesn't work, and you just keep going on what's working, and you keep refining, you know.
Gotcha. Okay. So that's organic, which is, you know, it's a lengthy process, a pain in the ass. It takes a lot of time, but it's worth it if you can build up the kind of following that you've got, for example, right, over years and years of time. And you've got all kinds of data you've accumulated over that time of what works, what doesn't. Absolutely. And you've got a massive advantage. Hence why somebody should consider buying your course. You get to skip all the bullshit, right? But, you know, going back a step, what about the paid advertising route? Because the organic takes a lot of time. What if we got to make 10 grand by next Tuesday? What's the
creative, right? The creative, absolutely the creative. It's almost the same thing. So like with YouTube ads, it's all about, you're testing, well, I guess you're testing the creative. The creative is still the big mover, the video, the, you know, the 3 to 5 minute video that you are putting on YouTube or Facebook ads. That is the biggest mover on paid as well. What lots of folks are doing, and what we do, is we'll take, if we have a creative which we know works, we won't just stop there. We'll test 5, 10, 20 different hooks. And the hook is the first 5 to 30 seconds of the video. Because that first 5 to 30 second, that first 5 seconds is where they can, you know, you have to imagine on YouTube, at least, their mouse is hovering over that skip ad button. They're just waiting for it to appear so they can get back to what they were originally watching.
Yeah.
So we'll test 20 different hooks in that first 5 seconds to see what gets people to kind of say, oh, I just saw he's driving a Lamborghini.
Hey, I hope you're enjoying the podcast, and I want to let you know that I've got a free book that you can get if you want to tap into more of these resources, and you can get that for free at kylesbook.com. Back to the podcast.
Well, maybe I'll give him a couple more seconds to talk, or, oh, he just came in on a helicopter? I'll listen to this guy for 5 more seconds. And if we get him for 5 more seconds, well, I'm going to get him for another 10 seconds. Then I'm going to get him for another, 20 seconds. So I test the most where the most people are, which is that initial ad and that hook, that first, how do you get him deeper down the rabbit hole? Now an interesting thing I did not say as much was the targeting, because that's even before the creative, selecting who are you showing your ads to. And that's important as well. It's extremely important as well. But on ads, on organic, you can't really target. Not really. You can put some hashtags and hope it shows up for those hashtags. But what can you do? With ads, you can target much more. But the thing is, YouTube, Google, Facebook, Instagram are so freaking amazing at figuring out your audience now with their AI. They pick up on things so unbelievably fast that as long as you are feeding back those conversion events to them, whether that's them opting into your email list or going to the product, going to the product's checkout page or actually purchasing the product that you're recommending, Facebook, Google, YouTube, et cetera, they'll really just zero in on that target customer and just keep delivering them over and over.
Badass, dude. And you can get so hyper targeted with these ads that if somebody hovers over with Ad Manager, Google Tags, you have it so that if they're hovering over the chat box or the purchase where it says all the product details for more than 5 seconds, you can show them a different ad as opposed to somebody who only got to the title. Then you can show them the top down, like you're saying. I love that, man. When it comes to trying to get these hooks, what comes to mind is the whole classic Ty Lopez, here in my garage, got this new Lamborghini. And then the hook is the library. And then it was like, wait a second. So he's putting two things together that are shocking. What are some hooks that you found that worked tremendously that you tested? Maybe you didn't think they would work for shit, but then when you actually implemented it, you're like, damn, you know what? Maybe this salad turning to the salad dressing dripping as soon as the skip ad button pops up worked the best. What have some tests been that surprised the shit out of you?
Sure. So the current one we're doing is making money is as easy, it's making money. It's like learning to walk as a baby, you're going to, it's like a mental thing. It's like, oh, making money is as easy as learning to walk. Once you learn the trick, you just keep doing it. And then I use an example of, hey, have you ever played the game where you say, oh, find all the red cars, and you start noticing every red car on the freeway? Again, your mind is inclined to look for that now. And once you know what to look for in making money, you just keep doing it. So I lead people down these kind of like, oh, like kind of like aha, like I'm trying to get them thinking. I'm trying to get them kind of going into deeper into one part of their brain. Another hook I've used is I used to be homeless and now I'm living here. And, I have a multi-million dollar house. I'm in my office. This is like, I converted my garage to an office. I say I was homeless, so now I'm living here. And so that's kind of a pattern interrupt because your link, it's like homelessness and multimillionaire. It's like, what, how did that happen? Another hook I used was literally landing in, I'm a helicopter pilot as well. I literally landed my helicopter in my backyard and I got out and I started speaking to people. And that's something you don't see every day. So people are going to watch. So you want to get, and the thought around what is a good hook is you want to create a situation where it's like almost like aliens are landing in your backyard. Because if an alien spaceship was landing in your backyard, it doesn't matter if your wife was yelling at you to, you know, that the bake, you know, that the chicken pot pie you have in the oven is, you know, burnt, or the doorbell's going off. You're just going to be like fixated on these little green aliens coming out of a spaceship. So what is the equivalent of that for, you know, health or wealth or beauty? You know, you could say, did you know there's this, you know, there's this magical button for trading crypto that you just keep pressing and it just keeps making you more. What can you show people? Or maybe it's for wealth. It's like, look at this, you know, like Becky got fired from her job because she was too big to sit in the chairs at work, and, you know, showing her transformer. You want to find you want to find foreign concepts that are going to blow people's minds. The helicopter example is probably one of the best examples I can think of. It's literally like an alien spaceship landing. And the closer you can get to that for your market, the better it is. When I was marketing mortgages, this was when I was working a job 12 years ago. The line I used that I kept using over and over that no other company was using was no closing costs. And I just kept using that in all of our ads, no closing costs. And that was a good hook that kept no closing cost for refi. That worked hugely to our advantage because everybody believed they had to pay massive closing costs.
You just tapped into something interesting. You're talking about a belief that is contradictory to the actual reality, and it's an instant reframe that hooked people like that. It's fascinating, dude. Yes. What was the other one that you were talking about? I just interrupted you.
Another one that I used for the mortgages in particular, we were doing these banner ads, and you know, that was one of the things we were doing. We were spending about $100,000 a day. I grew this company from spending $4,000 a day to $100,000 a day. Then they sold the company for a couple hundred million dollars. I never got a piece, but I know I had a big result in their growth. They literally, you know, I'd work directly with the CEO, and he said, we can't hire people fast enough. He said, you've created a miracle for us. I wish I somehow got a piece of that. But the other hook we used was I actually created ads in Microsoft Paint, like these ugly pixelated ads where like, you know, they don't have round corners. Like you can literally see the like square pixels and the lines if you draw diagonally. It just looked awful. And I'd be like, you know, no closing cost, refinance, like, you know, apply here. And I draw a button with like a red line, and like I color it in with like, you know, yellow. And it looked so ugly. But the thing was, it stood out on the page. And you'd immediately see it. Immediately see. Because, you know, you go to Amazon, you go to any of these sites, you see these fancy looking ads. Mine was the ugliest ad I think you would ever have seen. And its click-through rate and the amount of leads it got us and the cost per lead, all the metrics blew everything else out of the water. So that's what I call a pattern interrupt or a hook.
Yes.
And I think one of the same.
One of the things that, oh, dude, it's so cool. The Kanye West Super Bowl commercial. Total contrast to all the people spend millions of dollars developing these commercials. And dude just got out his iPhone and said, go to Kanye.com and that's it. Like, wow, the ROI on that was insane. Like exactly like you're saying, it reminds me of like an ugly VSL as opposed to like a high production cost. The ugly VSL most of the time outperforms just slides and words. That's it. As opposed to showing all kinds of transitions and things that distract the mind as opposed to just straight up and direct. It's interesting, man. So I like where your mind goes with the from the top down testing where the most people will see. It's like the classic copywriting saying where it's like you start with the headline and then the only purpose of the headline is to get them to read the first sentence and the second and then the first sentence to get them to read the second sentence and on and on.
Yeah, exactly.
So we can see how we can kind of structure an ad or creative that would be like, okay, so this would hook people in and get them to click the call to action. The question becomes, what's the call to action? Are we leading people to the lead magnet, or are we leading people to, and I guess it depends, but to the affiliate offer? You want to build your list up, right? So it goes back to the lead magnet, I assume, correct?
So the way I look at it, that it's I'll give you, and you like going into the psyche. So yes, you're going to, whether you're going to the affiliate offer or your lead magnet, whatever it is, you're leading them eventually to, the result is losing weight or making more money or saving, not spending a ton of money on to refinance or whatever that, on your mortgage, getting the best mortgage rate. So whatever you're doing, you're ultimately leading them towards that, and you're repeating that message. Whether you have a lead magnet in the middle or not, it's still the same message. Get the best mortgage rates. Enter your, click this link. And then they click the link and they see your lead, it's like enter your email to see the best mortgage rates. And then they get to the page and maybe you fill out a longer form. Where's your house located? What state? What address? How much is it worth? How much do you have currently paid off? See the best rates. It's always, you want to keep that congruency to what the end goal of the conversion event is, where you make the money. That's the goal. What I where in terms of how you where you decide to put it in, it varies. If I'm selling a very expensive, more high-ticket product, I want to give more information up front. Because if I'm trying to get people to pay $10,000 for some software, that I don't know, or for trading software, whatever it is, I need to educate them a lot. I might need to include screenshots, stories, my experience, et cetera. I might, as opposed to if I'm just getting somebody to sign up for Robinhood and get a free stock pick. I don't need to have a long story to convince them to sign up and get a free stock and a trading account. Now, the way I like to do stories, again, going with this idea of attention is limited and, the first sentence selling the second sentence, is typically I tell the whole story in the first sentence. Now, the whole story might be, in my previous example, I used to be homeless and now I'm living here. And then what I'm going to do next is I'm going to tell the entire story in two sentences now. So I used to be homeless and now I'm living here. Now, being homeless, when you don't have a lot, when I had no money in my pocket, I thought there was no opportunity for me to make, I'd spend hours on the public computer, in the University, the Library of Chicago, trying to figure out how to make money. I thought there was no way I could make money until I discovered affiliate marketing. And then, in the next 2 years, I earned over $1 million doing affiliate campaigns. So I told the story of homeless to millionaire in two sentences now. I said, I thought there was no hope, And then I found it and I made millions of dollars promoting weight loss and investment products. And then I'll tell the story in four sentences. So I'll tell two sentences about, maybe I'll say, like, I remember I had a knife held to my throat one night sleeping on a bench in Chicago, Hyde Park. And the computer was my only outlet to being able to actually interact with. I knew I had to figure out a way to make money from the computer. I had read all these stories, and affiliate marketing was my way out. I started marketing investment products, and that took me, in 2 months. I 2 months after marketing investment products, I was making $10,000 a month, and I kept stacking that and up creating other profit streams from, different affiliate campaigns until I was making $500,000 a month before I ever started teaching anybody anything. So that might be my lead-in. So I told this story in four sentences, and then I'd say, and then I'd link it, then I'd start linking it back to, maybe that fourth sentence is a call to action. I'm like, and if you want me to mentor you, or if you want to go through a training course, you can check out my training course. So that's the way I do it. I just keep making the story going into more detail. And then when I start bringing the story back, I'm just call to action, call to action, call to action, call to action, in a denser and a denser and a denser way.
One of the things you do there, man, is you're entering the conversation that's going on in their mind, not the homeless to millionaire, because they're not thinking that. But the second sentence that you said is, I was wondering how I can make money online. And I started to, and you start to go into what they're already thinking. So you know what your target audience is, and you can find, kind of find out or empathize with them and think of where their mind is right now and enter that conversation that's already taking place instead of having to install a new one. Which is something that's incredibly powerful if you can tap into that, right? How do you know what they're thinking? How do you know what conversation to tap into?
Right. That you're getting into great questions here. So one thing that let's say for weight loss, for instance, I'm looking up some, appetite suppressant, weight loss type of drugs or salts or whatever people do. I would go on Amazon and I'd go into the reviews and I'd look at the one-star reviews. And I want to see what the bad reviews are on any program. If I'm looking at business opportunity programs, like making money online, like what I teach, or like crypto, trading stocks, or like flipping real estate, I go to like Trustpilot or Ripoff Report or one of these sorts of sites, and I look, or the Better Business Bureau, and I look for the bad reviews. And what I'm trying to see is where people's expectations fell short. And I'm really trying to speak to that in their minds. So somebody might say, oh, I got this weight loss pill, but it reacts with my medication and it created a monster headache, like crown of thorns type of headache. So I'd say, ah, okay, how can I flip that to be a selling point? I'm like, I'm sure you're wondering about a weight loss thing that doesn't inter, you know, that doesn't, you know, that's all, you know, that doesn't have any weird side effects with any medications you're currently taking, that is made from all natural ingredients. It doesn't leave you bloated, feeling bloated. What are people saying? Oh, this weight loss medication made me feel bloated. I wasn't hungry, but I felt awful. So I'd want to speak to that, because the customer is probably further along. They know these things. It's most likely not the first weight loss drug or thing they've ever bought, and it's most likely, and even for business training, when folks are, trying to find a teacher like, me or something, I'm not going to be the first person they've ever sought business or like entrepreneurship advice from. So there's already conversations happening. As an affiliate, it's very easy to just enter in those conversations with those aforementioned resources, reviews of the of other similar programs, and then speak to those. And that'll take you further down in the conversation.
Brilliant, dude. Yeah, no kidding. I love that. And one of the things that somebody might say is, oh, well, that's a pain in the ass to have to do all this research. And to that, I would say utilize AI. See how much AI can do, because even ChatGPT, for example, it's scraped every product review known to man that's ever been on Amazon, right? It's got that data. So you can just point it in the right direction, point it to that spot in its database, and say, in this, and you got to be very specific with your prompting, in this very specific area for this kind of a product, what are some things that people are complaining about? I love how you went to the one-star reviews, because if you can tap into what they're complaining about, you can say, oh, so you're probably already thinking like, oh, it's I tried weight loss pills and I got a headache and my stomach hurt. And then I tried a liposuction and I put the weight right back on in the next, right? So you're tapping and bang, bang, bang. Oh, I've tried this. And now you've got them on the journey with you, where you can then lead them to wherever you need to go, which is in this case, the weight loss product, right? So it's fascinating, man. You can totally see how you can structure that whole video.
You can, and then you can train, you can it, with the right prompts, right? Like for ChatGPT or whatever, you can take, tell the AI, hey, now, like, what are, read all the reviews of this weight loss product, the one star reviews, and summarize the five biggest deficiencies.
Yeah,
And then
that's
you can say, now flip those, now flip
love
the,
it.
now completely flip those and turn those into benefits. Okay, and it will say doesn't cause bloat. It causes bloat. Does this doesn't cause bloating? And then now you're creating really good marketing. So that's absolutely the way. And I have some guys I'm mentoring. They actually, it's like some. It's a group of nine kids that moved here from Minnesota. They're all in their 20s. They're all doing AI generated videos for TikTok shops. And they literally do something very similar where they're just getting scripts from ChatGPT. And then they're having Midjourney create, AI image, creating images. And then they're taking that and they're putting into like a video, AI video editing tool. And they're just having it all go together, and it's fascinating. And frankly, AI is a revolution for affiliate marketing because just this, a few months ago, I was in affiliate summit, and affiliates are scaling bigger, faster, with less of a team, because AI, if you know how to use AI properly,
Oh, yeah.
if you know how to prompt AI properly, if you know what tools to use, and if you just are using the tools. I mean, I say the first thing in business and success is just showing up. It's a miracle worker. An individual can do more and make more money now, today, than in any time ever in history because of the AI tools at our fingertips. That's
I'm grateful as
fascinating.
all hell to be living right now, man. It's exciting, dude. We don't know what's gonna happen, where it's going, and it blows my freaking mind, dude. So
You know where it's going, though. You actually do. So it's all self, in the video game industry, they know it's gonna be every video game is gonna be essentially created from our own mind. It's gonna be created, everything's gonna be individualized. So if I want to live in a world of wizards and elves and dragons, I want these sorts of, relationships or intimacy or whatever. These things and these storylines are going to crack. They're almost going to. It's going to be a dream, a hallucination that's adapting to what I want or what I'm feeling at the time. And you said, books, learning. It's going to be adapting to what you need at the time. It's like, image and video editing aren't necessarily for you. Okay, you do, you focus on data analysis and this. So you understand a bit where it's going. So I wouldn't discredit yourself there. And a lot of science fiction authors say the exact same thing of where AI is going.
It's cool to be confirmed by them, because that's the pure creative unconscious that's being thrusted into the world through their fiction writing, which is Freaking amazing. Yeah, this is why I've been keeping, this isn't exactly why, but I've been keeping highly detailed journals over the past 7 or 8 years, because what I want to do is insert that into an AI, have it understand my psyche better than I even do, better than any other human in the world does, and be able to structure content, movie recommendations, structure actual movies based around its deep understanding of what I thrive on. And that goes to learning, how to make friends, which friends to make. It extends to places we have no idea where that would lead to. But I'm excited about it, man. So, brother, dude, let me
Why'd you
ask
do
you.
that? Why do you want it? Like, what? I'm wondering, what's your sorry, I don't mean to cut
Come
you
on,
off, but
what you got?
what's your bigger vision with having like almost like an AI is like an AI version of you that lives on, like for some like
Ha, that's a whole other story. Yeah,
what's
that's a
I'm wondering what
possibility,
the
I'm sure.
big thing is there, because you took a lot of work to like journal over.
Yeah.
You do a lot of interesting stuff with AI. So what's the big vision for what you're trying to create?
Essentially, I see it as an ally that understands me more than any other human does, more than I could ever comprehensively understand myself. It will understand the human psyche, and then more specifically, the collective unconscious, because it's got all the data from all the humans, but then my personal unconscious, and I'll be able to interact with the AI as though it's a part of my mind. That it will expand my consciousness in a way that I wouldn't be able to without a bot to be able to speak with. So if it understands everything that I've consumed over the last 8 years, all the conversations that I had, it'll be able to give me reminders, and it'll be an extension of my consciousness and a superpower in a way that if I didn't have the data to input, I wouldn't be able to have these conversations with it. I wouldn't be able to expand my inner landscape. And so that's, I think, the big picture with it. We don't know where that leads to, but I think that that's
So you're
coming.
creating almost like a co-pilot. You're creating like yourself as a co-pilot to you.
Yeah.
Almost as like a check and balance. And I'm almost thinking of like where neural networks go, but like you're creating you to help you. And it's like, hey, Kyle, you're waking up 30 minutes later than normal. Usually what happens is you get into a a massive creative phase if you keep doing this. If you keep
Yeah.
getting more sleep, you will enter a to typically I one of my employees trained ChatGPT to be her therapist, which is really
Yeah,
funny.
I do that too, man. Dream analysis, especially. It's freaking amazing, dude. It helps you make connections in a way you couldn't without it. Yeah. I'll be like, depending on my mood, it's either Sigmund Freud or Carl Jung. I'll be like, if I'm feeling a little spicy, I'll say, okay, you're Sigmund Freud, analyze this dream for me. I'll lay it out in specific details, and then I'll have it shift from psychologist to psychologist and get different viewpoints on it. And so that's how I imagine it extending my corpus of work, is being able to have that vision of who I am, what works best with me, and also being able to make creative leaps and leaps, like you said, with what works best in terms of the creative process. If I've got timelines in there that every Tuesday at 4 o'clock, for whatever reason, I come up with a brilliant idea, then maybe it'll help me structure a schedule based around what is working for me off the previous data that it has. One of the small things that I could do. I don't know, man. It's exciting though. It's bewildering, you know. What about you, dude? Where do you see the future of it going?
Yeah, absolutely. I think depopulation, I think going in like Plato's forms, like there's only, let's call it like 100 million like unique like humans or whatever. There's or whatever the number is, but I believe there's always the James Bond version of a person, and then there's lesser versions of that person. And I believe most people are not living the James Bond, version of themselves. And eventually those folks are going to be weeded out if you're not living the James Bond version of yourself, because it's going to be, that essential human aspect to people will be somehow soaked in or whatever. I view that I see, you know, where I see things going. I see affiliate marketing being the future of most commerce. You know, most businesses are middlemen anyways. Businesses are essentially middlemen in some way, shape, or form. You know, Expedia.com and you know,
Uber,
is bigger
Airbnb.
than Airbnb is bigger than most hotel is bigger than hotel companies, and they're just a middleman. You know, Uber is the biggest transportation company, and it's just a middleman connecting drivers with people who want to drive. So I see a lot of businesses kind of, you know, and Uber isn't technically a affiliate mark, you know, it's not, you know, but it is. They
It
created their
is,
own sort
yeah.
of, you know, middleman in. I see AI generated content taking over, becoming by year 2030, 99.999% of all content.
Wow.
And as a result, I see that the government or different governments of the world start shutting down internet access because it's, I believe the AI generated content is going to get so manipulative to public opinion or all these things that the internet, you know, that this gold, you know, that this golden age of the internet, I do believe will come crashing down around 2030. I uploaded a I paid some guy a couple hundred bucks to create a deep fake model of myself and upload it to you know, for Stable Diffusion, for, you know, basically a Laura of myself, which is interesting. You know, it's had 29 downloads so far. It's like a couple hundred megabyte files. So, you know, I'm experimenting around, but I do know that you know, if you want to make money and you want to do it, I think it's the next 6 years. I don't have any bets. You know, if you want to, you know, the next 6 years, we've got to freaking crush it. You've got to start a business, make millions, whatever you do, because I do believe after 20, you know, 2030 and beyond is, you know, the end of the American Empire, all these things are kind of part of this rationale, but you got to do it now and you got to act fast and you got to use the internet to, you know, sell stuff, sell yourself, whatever it is.
I mean, it's a fascinating thought, dude. I hope not. I freaking hope not. I love the internet. I love where it's at, where it's going, but I can see the manipulation being rampant as well, especially with my idea of formulating a webinar, a sales webinar based on that individual's psyche, everything they've ever typed online being taken into account with what persuasion is most likely to get them to convert. You can see that being used in like even presidential elections, for example, extremely unethical ways. And so there are going to be guidelines, there are going to be laws that have to be put in place to kind of keep it in check. But I hope you're wrong, brother. I hope so, because I fucking love the internet and I would hate to see it go away. So, but I mean, it's a motivation to get out there and kick some ass while we know we have it for sure. And I think that's an interesting place to leave it, brother. So,
Terminator, Mad Max, Waterworld, The Matrix, Blade Runner.
The
You
Matrix,
see it come up in countless, very smart science fiction writers. You know, Isaac Asimov's The Foundation, which is Elon's most, you know, influential book series. In all of these sci-fi, there is some sort of contraction and a reversion. And oftentimes it's because things are too central, you know, or the internet or something, you know. Neal Stephenson, the same person I said that predicted the future of education being sort of what you're creating, has a book called The Fall. He's referencing the fall of the American Empire. And it is the story of, you know, exactly what I said, which is this AI generated content just gets too rampant. But we'll see where things go. You know, I believe we're entering the glory years for our, you know, for the human race as we start to expand into the next, as anybody's capable of making money, and we start to expand into the cosmos.
Into the cosmos. Wow. Let's leave it with that, man. Amazing,
Okay.
amazing conversation we just had, brother. Anything else you want to add before we kick this off? That took an interesting turn, eh? Went from affiliate marketing and an in-depth guide to it to a futuristic viewpoint of AI and the collapse of the American Empire, which I hope you're wrong, but fucking possible, man. So what else do you have to add before we kick this off?
What I would add is, if anybody wants to follow me, look me up, John Cristani. I'm on YouTube, but I'd say mess around with AI, like follow every one of this guy's podcasts, because AI and is the more you can, the more time you can spend experimenting around just freely and learning to enjoy that process of experimenting
Yes.
around with AI, the more successful you will be. So just learn to love the experimentation and play around, because there's a lot of stuff to play around with in the AI field, and it'll absolutely make you more money.
Love it. John Cristani, thank you so much for being here, man. Seriously.
No doubt. Thank you for having me.
All right. I hope you enjoyed that podcast episode. And if you want to get a free copy of my book, go to kylesbook.com and you can get a copy there. I'll talk with you soon.